John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. The Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
Well, it was our honeymoon, and Malcolm and I were cycling a famous trail in New Zealand. We had quite a challenging ride. There was a powerful wind that first day. The second day, there was snow, and we got frozen toes, and Malcolm dropped his phone on the top of a mountain. But the third day was lovely. The weather was decent. We got in our groove, and we were able to enjoy the New Zealand countryside. And in my opinion, one of the best things about New Zealand countryside is the sheep. There are sheep everywhere. Lots of fluffy sheep in fields in a distance and fields that were quite close to us. So several times I attempted to pet a sheep, but that never worked. They were too scared and they always ran off. I just wanted to show a photo of my recent attempt to cuddle a sheep on our last New Zealand visit. I think Charlie will put that up there. Yeah. Still didn't work. I had several attempts in February. But the story that I want to tell you about is from our honeymoon 7 years ago. We were cycling along, and on the side of the road, we encountered a very large sheep trapped in a ditch. It was rolled over on his back with his legs sticking up in the air, bleeding loudly. And he was the only sheep around. There were no other sheep in sight. And my shepherd's heart was tugged. So I stopped and I yelled out to Malcolm, who's way ahead of me, Malcolm, I found a lost sheep. I have found a lost sheep. We just can't leave the sheep. So Malcolm, being the dutiful newlywed, came back to see what his wife was alarmed by. And he also saw this dilemma of the wounded and lost sheep. There was no way we could push the sheep over on our own. And would the sheep even let us do that without harming or more harm? So Malcolm suggested, let's just cycle onto the next landmark. And whomever we find, we will tell them what's going on. So we cycled down the road, and eventually we came to a pub. We went inside and told the bar manager about the sheep that we had found. And they said, oh, yes, that sheep, that would belong to farmer so-and-so, Farmer Joe up the road. He'll know exactly what to do. So I'll give him a call, they said. Fantastic. Our shepherding job done. The sheep was known. The sheep had a name, and the shepherd was nearby. Jesus said two times in this seven verses that Steve read for us, I am the good shepherd. Two times. You know, shepherds and sheep are a common theme in the scriptures. In fact, a little girl from my previous church said to her dad, why do we always have to talk about sheep in Sunday school? She was sick of being called a sheep. We remember King David, the greatest king in the Hebrew scriptures, a man after God's own heart, that he was originally a shepherd boy. Now, shepherds were not domesticated or childlike, even though it is a common image that kids can relate to. Shepherds live out in the rough. They are protectors, they are watch keepers, they are kept on alert for danger. And the danger to sheep would be wild animals that would seek to kill and to destroy. So the shepherd's work is about life and death. In verses 11 to 14, Jesus speaks of himself as the protector, the one who lays down his life for his sheep. Not like the hired hands or wolves who run away, who snatch and scatter sheep. In this first section, Jesus identifies himself as an authentic protector, the one who would give his life for his sheep. He's the real deal, good shepherd. Verse 14 begins the second section where Jesus says a second time, I am the good shepherd. And then he goes on to say, I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I know my own and my own know me. In this understanding of being the good shepherd, Jesus describes a knowing, a relationship, a familiarity of being in close, intimate relationship. Jesus even compares this relationship with his sheep like his own relationship with his Father, which is an intimate one. It's a relationship of complete knowing. It's a relationship of union, in fact. In this same chapter, Jesus said, the sheep know, they listen to my voice. Listening is emphasized here too. In Barbara Brown Taylor's sermon entitled The Voice of the Shepherd, she tells a story of being friends with a sheep rancher. And this sheep rancher said that sheep are not actually dumb. Sheep are not actually dumb. In fact, it was cattle ranchers that first called sheep dumb because they didn't act like cows. Cows can be pushed and prodded from behind to get where the rancher wants them to go. But sheep, on the other hand, cannot be pushed or prodded from behind. If you come from behind them and make a noise, they just scatter and run about. Sheep don't respond like cows do. Sheep are led. They follow a familiar voice. Sheep aren't dumb. They just can't be controlled or corralled by pushing. They follow when they have developed an intimate trust with their caretaker. They follow when they recognize the voice of the shepherd. Barbara Brown Taylor goes on to say about us being Christ-following sheep, this quote. That's the next slide, Charlie. We are not at heart believers in an institution or an ideology, but a relationship that changes from day to day and year to year. What do you think about that quote? Is your faith in an institution or an ideology? Or is it about developing a trusting relationship with a good shepherd? Now, Christianity as an institution has been and is in deconstructing decline. Most of Western society has lost faith in this institution for decades now, and we are constantly bombarded by the harms this institution has done. And I'm meaning the church institution at large. And there has been harm. There has been harm done. And many of us have even been harmed by Christian institutions, even in this particular institution of Grandview. As humans, we participate in institutions, and they can do much good to offer stability and care, and they are also flawed and can cause much harm. But our faith is not in an institution. There has been and will be different iterations of church in the past and in the future. Preserving the institution is not what it means to be a Christ follower. Let's look at that quote again. We're not at heart believers in an institution, nor an ideology, but in a relationship, a dynamic one that changes from day to day and year to year. What about our ideologies? I think for most of us, this is where we can hold on to Christianity a little bit more. Even if it's just barely, because we can connect with a Christian ethic or Christian ideals such as justice and peacemaking and community And all of these ideologies aren't bad in themselves. They can be guides in how to live well. And ideologies can be disillusioning, polarizing, simply not enough for what it means to be a truly relational human being. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says, I know my own, and my own know me. Christ followers are intimately known. Christ followers are invited into relationship with a loving, personal, intimate God. There's a connection, there's an element of relationship in being a Christ follower. Just like humans relate to our families or friends or lovers, we're relational beings. We are invited into relationship with a relational God. We hear the voice of God. We're invited to listen, to trust, to be known by a good shepherd. So how does that land for you this morning? You know, I wonder how your relationship is functioning with the good shepherd. Are you able to hear the good shepherd's voice? Are you wandering in the forests alone? Are you following a stranger's voice? Are you lost, distracted by grass greener on another hill? For most of us, we may not be attuned to hearing the voice of the good shepherd because we haven't had a trusting relationship with God. Maybe we haven't had a personal experience of this good shepherd laying down his life for us, and we feel lost, exposed to the elements, caught in the wolf's mouth, injured badly in that ditch with our feet up in the air, not able to help ourselves. How is it that we can inhabit this Good Shepherd story? This is our question in the Lent season, in the Easter season. This is our theme. How can we inhabit this Good Shepherd Jesus story? As I said before, Jesus said 2 times in these 7 verses, I'm the Good Shepherd, and that's a lot. But Jesus says 5 times in these 7 verses, I lay down my life for my sheep. I lay down my life. The author says this over and over in this text, that Jesus lays down his life for the sheep because he chooses to do this, because he wants his sheep to trust him, because he wants to be in intimate relationship with his sheep, because Jesus wants to be in union with us. This is the dominant theme of what it means for Jesus to be the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for us. How do we inhabit this kind of God? Well, I showed you a photo of when Malcolm and I were, most recently when we went to New Zealand. My goal at that time was to find a sheep and to cuddle with it. I had visions of that soft wool on my cheek, of spending time squeezing its neck. We went to 2 farms and it never happened. It was just impossible because every time I went close to a sheep, they just ran away. Every time I just almost began petting that beautiful wool coat, they jumped back. Even if I tried to feed them, they would rarely approach me. They were mainly just skittish. But what I did notice is that these 2 kids on these 2 farms that we went to that had raised the sheep since they were young, these sheep would be fed and held and led by them. The sheep knew their owners. They had developed relationship over years, experiences of trust and love and care. They knew their shepherd's voice. They listened to that voice. They would follow the ones that they trusted. It totally makes sense. Like, I was a stranger to them, and the sheep had not experienced me laying down my life for them over and over again. Those sheep were not dumb. They knew who they were known by. Our relationship with the Good Shepherd is this lifelong process of developing a trust in a loving God. It's about attuning ourselves to that voice of God, to God's hand, to God's care. You know, often when we are in a state of skittishness with God, we may want to remember back. Remembering back to a time where we experienced something of the touch or voice of God, even if it was just a glimpse or a maybe. Where is it that you have experienced love in this world? Where is it that you've heard the voice of love? Where is it that you have been seen and known? These are all little signs, little glimpses that point us to our good God. Glimpses of the Good Shepherd in our lives. Invitations, in fact, to relationship and deeper relationship. We know this world is full of hired hands and wolves. Too full of experiences of abandonment and death. This world is full of thieves who only come to steal and kill and destroy. And we get overwhelmed by these stranger voices. And in this world, there is a voice of love. There is in this world experiences of sacrificial love. I believe there is a true good shepherd who has laid down his life for you, who has laid down his life for this aching world. This good shepherd is still calling out to us, calling out in love, wondering if anyone will dare to come close and listen. Amen.